Test. One, two, three. Test.
Trying to park.
Trying to park. Yeah, why don't we wait a couple minutes? There's not a lot of parking out there.
A point of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. This is a republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
The Borough of Seabright, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed it with the clerk, and posted notice on the bulletin board in the borough offices. Good evening, everybody. Welcome.
Good evening.
We have a roll call, please.
Sure.
Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
DeJulio?
Here.
Vice Chairman Casillo?
Here.
Duffy? Absent. Councilman Lexstein? Mayor Long is absent. Not?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Okay.
She's still going, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got another line. I'm sorry. McGinley? Absent. Bills?
Here.
Ray?
Here.
The alternate's another line.
Okay, let's move on to the memorialization of the Bank of America drive-up ATM, 1117 Ocean Avenue, Block 21, Lot 1. Any discussion on the resolution or a motion?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yeah.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DeJulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Casillo?
Yes.
Duffy is absent. Councilman Lexstein?
Aye.
He wasn't.
Okay. Mayor Long is absent. Not?
Yeah.
Smith?
Yeah.
McGinley is absent. Bills?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
On to the memorialization of the resolution for Carmine Langevin, 7 Surf Street, Block 12, Lot 5. Any discussion or motion? Second. Okay. Roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yeah.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DeJulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Casillo?
Yes.
Duffy's absent. Not?
Yes.
Smith?
Yeah.
McGinley? Is absent. Bills? She wasn't here. She can do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If she wasn't, she couldn't, shouldn't have put her on the last one either, but I think she was here. She was here on the 9th.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're in the wrong one.
Right.
That's the extension.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, Ray? Okay. Right. I'm getting mixed up.
Everyone's eligible at the extension except for the D people.
Okay.
Can you grant me to check back there?
On to the extension and approval for McCall Ventures LLC, 14 East New Street, Block 20, Lot 5. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Debbie Gray. I am the general counsel for the applicant, McCall Ventures LLC, and here seeking a one-year extension of a variance approval. This was granted a variance. It was a use variance. A D1 use variance from the property, which is in a D1 zone, and for the use is commercial, is residential over. And the board approved the use variance for a two-family dwelling. We also grant an approval of C variance setback. And that approval was granted on December 8th, 2015. You couldn't appeal to the Superior Court by an objector. And we're not successful in the Superior Court and have now appealed it to the appellate division where it is pending, which is the reason why the applicant has not submitted for the building permit yet. So we are now requesting a one-year extension, which is provided in the order of variance.
And the board, the applicant did give notice of this meeting and the request for the extension. I've reviewed the notice and I've marked as A1, the jurisdictional packet and the notices, et cetera. I've marked as A2, your original resolution. And again, I had a conflict on that application at that time. There's a conflict with the then owner of the property, who's no longer the owner. But I've marked as A2, the resolution granting a D1 use variance and bulk C variance dated December 8th, 2015. And the record should reflect Mr. McGinley just arrived. So I've marked those two. And I think as the board will recall, and I think Ms. Gray just indicated, the board had granted the approval. It's really just a variance approval. The site plan was involved in this because it was a variance approval. And it's been under appeal in various levels of the court since then. They're not seeking any changes to anything, just extending the approval that you gave them back in December 2015 for the exact same variances.
Correct.
Any questions, board members, the witness? Oh. Anyone in the public have a question about the witness's testimony?
Well, she's actually the attorney, but about...
Pardon me.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, question or...
Yeah.
Does anyone in the public have a statement about this application? Yes, sir.
I have a
question. You can ask your question.
Can you just state your name up for the record?
Address? Okay.
There's no commercial variance.
Commercial was a permitted use. Commercial was residential over. The applicant sought a variance to put a two-family house over instead.
Right.
It is a two-family house that the variance stands for. Instead of the permitted use, we do have the commercial residential.
Mr. Chief, can you just spell your last name for us? Thank you.
Anyone else in the public?
I don't know. Just like Dylan G, my old next picture.
If not, the public portion is now closed. Any other discussion or a motion from the board to extend?
I'll make the motion to the extension 1 year.
We have a roll call, please.
Cashmore?
Yeah.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yeah.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Yeah.
Councilman Lexstein?
Okay.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley? Okay.
You can, anyone can vote because this is the extension. If I know you walked in the middle, so if you're not comfortable, that's fine.
Just abstain if you're not comfortable.
Right. It's just the extension of the approval. I don't think you needed to have approved the initial one to agree to extend the original approval. But. Yeah, okay.
Bills? Bills?
Yes.
Yes. Ray?
You have your extension.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay.
Okay, we're moving on to James Lombiondo, 3 Osborne Place, Block 9, Lot 3. I have been put on the 200-foot list because of my property, and I will be stepping down from the board for this application. I'm going to ask Mr. Knott to please take my place tonight, and I know that Mr. DeSeo has a conflict with this application, as well as Mr. Lexstein.
I have a conflict, but it's a variance, so I can't sit.
As a councilman, you can't sit. So best of luck to you all.
Night, Leon.
Yeah, that's fun. And again, Mr. Substitute Chairman.
Yeah.
This is the application of James Lobiondo, 3 Osborne Place, Block 9, Lot 3. I have reviewed the notice in this matter. If you recall, Mr. Lobiondo came back in September. That was initially, we marked some exhibits, but we didn't hear anything. It's re-noticed, everything's been redone. So I marked his jurisdictional packet with the new notice for tonight's meeting as A1. And I have marked the architectural plan, I'm sorry, the letter from David Hoder, dated 9/8/17 as A2. And the architectural plans by Jeremiah Reagan, as A3. Those plans are dated 4/4/17. Mr. Lobiondo, so because, you know, you're going to offer testimony also, I'm going to swear you in. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And just state your name and spell your last name for you.
James Lobiondo, L-O-B-I-O-N-D-O.
Okay.
Congratulations, Chairman.
Thank you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, here's tonight's seeking application on 3 Osborne Place. Just want to start off with a brief history of the site, basically, the decision process that led up tonight for me and what I decided to do. So, originally, there was a multifamily on the site. I know it's because actually my aunt owned it, probably 3 owners before the owner I purchased it from at the time. There were multiple tenants occupying the property throughout the years.
James, I just missed it. What's multifamily, you say, or two-family? I missed.
Multifamily, it was two, but I believe there was actually a third apartment.
Okay.
I don't want to go too much farther on that one, but there was a multifamily there. So it was serving as a multi-family to my business point.
Okay, I got you.
It'd be great if James could move up.
The previous owner,
James, can you just move up a little bit, like in.
Or tilt the microphone up a little bit so it's.
Or you know what, even.
You're speaking more directly.
Even if you just come to those two.
Over here?
Yeah, just.
No, these two microphones.
Those two microphones, yeah, that would be best. I just hear better when it.
Thank you.
So getting back to that, so the history of the property. So previous owners before me, a couple owners before me, eventually knocked it down. The multifamily as it was built in, from the county records I got, was 1912, according to the tax map. And obviously at that, it needed me to repair. So it most likely determined that it would be too costly to renovate, you know, these existing structure as it stands. If you're carefully reviewing the area, surroundings, we felt townhomes were a better fit and more conforming fit on Osborne, on the street. You're here tonight seeking approval for a multifamily townhouse development. This is a permitted conditional use in the R3 zone. On either side of the property and across the street, we have several multifamily present. The previous development, as I mentioned, was also multifamily on the site. And actually, I was able to go to the records of from when my aunt did own it back ago, and I just wanted to have this tomorrow.
Sure. I'm going to mark as A4. Can you just tell us what this is?
It's basically determining the footprint that it's very consistent of what is proposed.
Why don't you say this is the tax record card?
Tax record, yeah.
Okay.
talking about the ground area.
Attach record card. It's actually the mod 4, but...
Can
yep. It's mod 4, right?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, and it indicates that the property at 3 Osborne Place was built in 1912, and it looks like it was 2,289 square feet.
Floor area,
right?
Disturbance of that land.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, just wanted to pass that around. But basically, for the record tonight, this property actually, with the decks, you know, take the whole totality of the proposal tonight is 2,600. So if you back those decks out, which that property did not have, we're essentially at the same square footage. I believe we're 10 by 10, 10 by 11, somewhere in that wheelhouse. So take 100 times it by 3, back those decks out, we're essentially at the same footprint here. The square footage that was there was a large multifamily there. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Let me
get back here, sorry.
So, and the you've indicated it's conditional use in the R3, but you don't meet all the conditions, is that correct?
Correct. And then we'll look at the rear property line. We'll discuss that a little bit. I'm going to discuss a little bit now, really, the neighboring properties that we have. I'm going to show the board that haven't been down the street. You know, maybe just a quick look at what's around me here. So the first picture I'm going to show you is the neighboring property to the east. We have Sea Ridge Condominiums, part of Sea Ridge, which that section next to me is a 13-unit condo complex.
Okay, you have photos? Let's
yes.
Mark them so
yeah,
you can
we'll mark that one. So this is Sea Ridge. This is the picture of that showing of that site.
Okay, so we have.
Yes.
A5 is photo of Sea Ridge.
Oh, Ocean Ridge.
Alrighty then.
Oh, man.
Okay, which is 13 units.
Yeah.
Now, is this on the same side of the street as your
correct,
proposed?
Same side of the street, just east of me, neighboring property to the east.
Okay, immediately adjacent or?
Immediately adjacent neighboring property.
Okay. Okay.
So, Ocean Ridge, excuse me. As I said, that's a 13-unit complex. The density per unit is actually much higher than the proposed tonight. The neighboring parcel, and so I'm going to show another picture. I'm going to mark that, I guess, as well. This is 5 Osborne.
Okay, A6.
Neighboring western property.
Two family.
Photo. What number Osborne?
Five.
I see.
5 A and B.
Two family.
So that neighboring parcel, 5 Osborne, was a recently approved multifamily, 40 feet of frontage. The proposed project is actually also less dense than the recently approved project of 5 Osborne. Just some quick notes. The 5 Osborne building coverage was 73.02% compared to the proposed building coverage of 66.98%. So we're under that on a building. Also, the lot coverage granted on a recent approval of 5 Osborne is 78.1% compared to the proposed at 72.71%. So, you know, we're providing greater setbacks as well and less intense densities with the proposed plan than that recently approved one at 5 Osborne. So I just want to bring that point. Bring that around. So. And the last property I'm going to mark this as well, which is the waterways, especially two pictures together. which is directly across the street, the southern direction.
Okay. A7B. Okay, and this is waterways here.
So. Like I said, that site house is 22 townhomes. I measured just out of curiosity, I took some measurements just around. I was curious if, as a developer with bits of townhomes and what have you, and how dense they are and all that kind of stuff. So, I basically took a measurement of one of the townhomes next door, and I came up with a 15.75 width per unit, which is obviously mine are a little bigger at almost 18 feet in width. So, that was something I found interesting. So I just have actually one more picture of the rear of the proposed plan. So that's going to be facing direction north, the rear yard of the proposed.
Okay, so A8 is your black.
Sorry.
Is your lot looking
my
north?
Looking north of the rear property.
Of the rear of the subject property.
The rear of the subject property.
Okay, so it's subject property looking north.
Looking north, correct. And then also, that's a two-family, a multi-family back there as well. There's 14 and 16. Of course, it is a 14 and 16. Not a multi-family, but there's two units within that building.
The building
that I'm putting in that arrow has two units in it.
Okay.
So, however you want to describe it.
Two units.
Correct.
He's going to show it to
you. Sure.
But I did my thing.
I mean, it's my long exhausting point of showing. I'm sorry to bother the board with all these pictures, but I just kind of wanted to get a sense of, that this street, my street, I didn't really, I only had the one picture of the street behind me. My street already served as a very dense street, multifamily. So really, we're not asking for anything that doesn't already exist there now and wasn't recently approved. As like I said, we run the density of the most recently approved project. We designed the site with that in mind.
It just, not that it's, why don't you say like existing conditions in your area, not
existing,
like recently approved.
Okay.
Because there's no precedent as to what
no,
to approve, but the
consistent,
conditions of your neighborhood is relevant.
It's consistent with the conditions of the neighborhood. Thanks for correcting me. So I'll say we designed a site in mind and looked at all the current densities on the street at the time so we could properly be underneath them, having access. So, also one of the reasons we believe this project works well on the street and provides special reasons needed for the conditional use in there. And also, just like to point out real quickly, I took some other measurements of just the streets. Osborne is actually one of the wider streets in the downtown area. I took a few measurements. We're at 26 feet from curb to curb. We have, single side parking. So keep in mind, there's no parking on the one side of that street. I'm stuck on the subject side. So the other street measurements I took Beach Street at 23.10 inches, Surf Street just over 22, and South Street, believe it or not, 19. So, and both sides park, well, not the whole thing, but Bob, you understand.
Yeah.
Of the two-way street. So, and all those streets have several multifamily present on them. I believe that Osborne is much better suited for the multifamily with the wider street, promoting greater ingress and egress, and safer with the one side that's no parking on Osborne, which is nice. It's a nice feature to have on that street. I'm going to let Jerry Reagan, my architect, follow up with the technical questions on the design and layout when I'm finished, but I want to talk a little bit about our setbacks and the reliefs we'll be asking for here tonight for this board. The proposed building complies with the front and side yard setbacks in the R3 zone. The front yard setback for this building is 9.33 feet, where 5 feet is the minimum required.
Well, it's 5 to 12, and you have to show, and I'm not saying you can't, but so it's 5 to 12 because you have to take the average of the front yards on setback, sorry, and along the streetscape, and then come up and say that it does comply. So maybe Jeremiah, Derek,
yeah,
can do that.
I'll let Jeremiah. Okay. We can take a look at that and try to address that concern being consistent with what's there. Also, we've laid out setbacks more generous than with the minimum is 5 feet or 3 feet. We're 5.5 feet where the minimum is 3 feet in the RSP zone to curtail the density a little bit. So there was no variant feed to the side roads either.
Well, let me run through them just because I don't want anybody to be confused. So if you're looking at the R3 zone requirements, he's right on these numbers. So that the front yard setback is again 5 to 12, they're at 9.33. The rear yard setback is required 15 feet, he's at 3.33, his proposed. The lot coverage is 70%, he's 72.71. And building coverage is 50% and he's 66.98. However, if you're going to the multifamily B section of the ordinance, because he's asking for multifamily, there's a little bit different requirements. So I just want to throw them out there and then everybody can talk about it. But the density that's permitted is 4 units per acre. If you broke it down just based on the acreage and your 3 units, it would work out to be 24.9 units per acre. I know that sounds crazy because it's 3 units, but that's how it would work out if you did it per acre. The lot frontage requirement for a multifamily would be 150 feet. He's got 63 feet. Lot depth is 125. They've got 82.63. The front yard setback for a multifamily is 35 feet, so it differs a little bit, which is why I brought that out, than the R3. And again, his proposal is 9.33. He's testified as to what the neighborhood is like. I'm just putting out what the requirements are. Same with the side yard setback. He's at 5.5. The requirement for a multifamily is 25. The rear yard setback for a multifamily is 25. He's got 3.33. And the lot coverage for multifamily is 70. And they're at 72.1.
I would just like to point out that that is essentially impossible to do in the ZBRAE. I understand your and I appreciate you pointing it out, but that really...
And that's why it's...
You look at those sizes and the use breaker that wouldn't be able to develop.
And you can testify, and you can certainly offer that. Just so that, and we indicated that it's a conditional use. Multifamily is a permitted conditional use, provided you meet the conditions. And the reason he needs the D variance is because he doesn't meet those conditions. So that's why it fits into that D.
So this one's the lesser burden than the D. Okay.
Yeah, so that's
it. I have a bunch of numbers here. The ones in your region.
I'm going off of Dave Hoder's letter. Well, it's Mary's, but yeah, I think Dave reviewed them with under both scenarios. I mean, I can look at Mary's. And her plans could have been different from when Mary looked at it, too.
Dave? Oh.
Well, it's pretty similar. Her numbers are about the same. So I talked about the front yard, 5 to 12, and she's got 9, but it's 9.33 exactly. Mm-hmm. And the side, the rear yard.
You were reading that. Okay.
Yeah, rear. Yeah. Yeah, and the rear yard is 15 feet for the R3, and 3.33 he has. But again, multifamily has a different standard, so it's a little confusing. I'll let Dave talk about it later. And the same with the building cover. I think they're the same numbers that we went over. Just Mary has the R3 zone because that's what it is. And he's proposing the three family home in this R3 zone, but there are also standards for multifamily. So there you go. Okay.
Just want to continue on the setbacks a little bit. So I think we just have left the rear yard setback. Like Kara pointed out, we'll be asking for the variance to the decks and stairs. With this variance, we, you know, the setback is, like Eric pointed out, also it's a set 15 feet as required in the R3. Just like to note that the building itself is 17.33 feet from the rear property line, not including the decks, just for edification. So really, just really the variance is really for the decks, for those structures in the back. Variance seems, at least in this board, what I've seen, and you know.
We're only talking about this particular application.
What's that?
You're talking about your particular application.
Just, I think it's important to provide the decks in the rear, lens of private, you know, some outdoor spaces is commonly used in short towns like Sea Ray. Having these rear yard decks also provides an additional egress that is essential from a fire safety standpoint. Steve's a big fire guy, so I'll point that out. And really, really, for the decks are very small. I mean, we're talking about 10 by 10, I think, from the material testified the exact size. You know, really, 100 square feet a unit, 300 square feet total decks for all three. Now, I would like to point out, I mean, we keep going back between the single family and the multifamily in this R3 zone. If I were to build a single family home, I could make these decks at least 5 times greater. Really, it's just a building permit. And that setbacks out completely. So you could potentially have a potentially bigger structure and bigger outdoor space, which we were trying to avoid this section. We know the houses are close together, and it's something that we feel is important to look at the community around us and not have an abundance of outdoor space. I didn't feel it was necessary. So we designed it accordingly. So I just like to discuss parking. So with the proposed application, we're actually exceeding parking requirements. And even though there's 2 parking spaces listed, you can actually, 50-foot length, I've put 3 cars, no problem. You know, small SUVs, smaller cars in a 50-foot length under the structure I've built before on that same length. So
So you're saying that you could fit 3 cars under each unit stack, so to speak.
I mean, I'm not talking about work construction vans or anything like that. I want to be clear before. You know, small SUVs, Hondas, Lexus, can fit their obviously in the back. So most cars can be 3 length in a 50-foot run. And obviously, they would be stacked in front of each other. But you know, when you have, you know, that parking, most people do use it in my garage. I've got my tents really utilize the space. And no, there's difference of opinions on people utilizing the garage or not, but my tenants keep them more than they use them. So just like to point that out.
So under each unit, you think you can fit maximum 3 vehicles stacked?
Yeah. So I also like to point out that on that side of the street, there's no parking on that side of the street. So I'm not creating a curb cut to get rid of a parking space. So essentially, there's no net loss. We talk about net loss in parking. I know parking is huge in Sea Ray. We all know it's an issue, and you know, we've looked into the amounts of council garages and what have you, and anything to help with parking and creating spaces. Now,
how many parking spaces were there before as a single family or
Yeah, there wasn't any on site.
No,
in terms of
no on site parking.
No.
Okay.
I mean, there was a small spot where they put cars, but in terms of the driveway or the rump itself, there was none there. So I just thought that would be important to just discuss that for a little bit beforehand. Air conditioning units, I know there's always a Fort Lexi, good location of those, and just go down that for a little bit. We'd be locating these units on the roof, like I have in the past in many of my projects, which will provide the greatest buffer distance for the neighbors. These units will be high efficiency units with minimal decibel levels to provide maximum quiet enjoyment for the neighbors and occupants. So, I mean, the way they're building these 95-98% efficiency now, these units, and putting them on the roof really does help a great deal with the noise. I know those clunky air conditioners on the side yards aren't really what the board wants. We really want to do that. So, just to wrap up a few things in closing. So, we feel the proposed building essentially conforms and exceeds many of the setback requirements in the R3 zone. It certainly will be an aesthetically pleasing site, which will blend very well with the uniform of the existing multifamily neighboring properties to the east, west, and across the street on Osborne. Like I said, everything there is condominiums, family. We will be providing 2 floors of front and rear egress. Pre-pointing that out from a safety standpoint, it's always good to have 2 exits. The new building meets all the current FEMA and elevation requirements, and we will be built to all new hurricane resistant codes. After Sandy, it's real, it's important to build it sustainable, so it's important. So, and also, building this way more sustainable also helps us enhance our community rating system for FEMA. We're all eligible, you know, collectively for lower insurance rates. You know, the theory is more people getting that and building more sustainable lowers our FEMA insurance rates. That's also important. So, and all the, we will be above all the new base flood elevations. I'm going to talk briefly about the elevations, but the new base floods in that area, we far exceed that we're not. So, we don't have to worry. And, you know, I've heard some things from people, you know, on the street or whatever, that they're high. But I'd like to point out that there is no height variance here. This is the height that the town wants us to build in. We're limited to that. Where do I want to put anything on the ground? More, you know, it's just not safe. You know, we saw countless houses be destroyed in that. I don't want to go down that road. I'm sure no one else does. Just repeating about, you know, the single family home. Single family home there, you're building maximum setbacks. And like I said, approximately, you know, instead of 300 square feet of decks, you have upwards of 1,500 square feet of decks, outdoor kitchens, fireplaces, etc. Everything that, you know, someone would want in a 5,000 to 6,000 square foot single family home in Seabright. That's how that would be built. A lot of thought and architectural planning went into this to create units compensatory for the surrounding area. Again, we're not asking for any height, side yard, front yard variances, and just need the rear yard variances from the deck to accommodate those flares. I think I have a proven track record in town, you know, successfully developed several sites with a lot of positive response. I'm not a transient builder. I'm not here to make a quick buck and take off. I'm here for the long haul, everyone knows. And, you know, I like to help continue recovery. I think it's important to build sustainable. So, we've recovered a lot in Seabright, but we definitely have a ways to go. Everyone getting to the new heights, I think, is important. So that's basically it. I can let Jerry come up. I would like to reserve my right, though, at the end to...
You always do. You don't need to reserve it. We'll give it to you.
Fair enough. So I'll let Jerry come up now and discuss...
Do you have any other witnesses other than Jerry? Okay.
I have a question, Jay. Sorry, you leave. Is there any other developable property on Osborne Street or adjacent to it?
No, not at all. This is the last site.
This is the last site we bought on Osborne.
Correct. And like I said, I think it does work well. If you look at the pictures that I showed you, that condominium's across, and I have 13 units right next to me, and multifamily to the other side. And actually, the house on the end was a multifamily at one time, too, but they built that. And I'll go into that story, but apparently, you know, single family home, there's a lot of activity there. And I'm trying to not create any disturbance on the neighbors. That's really my goal, you know, with this. So that's about it. So I'll let Jerry come up.
Before we hear from your architect, does anyone in the public have any questions? Please.
I'm sorry. Can you please tell me again?
What is your name?
Oh,
what is your name?
I didn't hit me.
I think she might have to walk
up here. You
might have
to come up because we can't hear you. Did you say Jenny? Well, it has to be, we may, but it has to be on the record. So what's your name?
Please remember, this is for any comment, any questions.
No, I just have a question again about...
I just need your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Janet Thorpe, and it's 12 Center Street.
Janet, can you move up?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, those two speakers right there.
Hello. I'm sorry, I'm nervous because I don't do this too often. But my question really was, you mentioned about having the multifamily home setbacks versus the single family home setbacks. Can you please go over those numbers again? Like, you need, I just wanted to understand.
Yeah.
And make sure I understood clearly. So for a single family
home, let me just go over. Stop.
Okay.
It'll be easier if I just go with
you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm only going to go the ones that he does with which he does not comply because you don't need, I don't think they care about the ones that are compliant. On a front yard setback for an R3 zone, it's 5 to 12 feet, and that really is an average of all the other homes on the street. So if all the other homes are 5 feet, then he'd be able to be 5 feet. So that's it. They propose 9.33. Rear yard setback in the R3 is 15 feet. They're proposing 3.33 feet to the decks and 13.33 feet to the house or the home itself. Maximum lot coverage is 70%. They're proposing 72.71%. and building coverage is 50% permitted, 66.98 proposed. The multifamily standards are, there's a maximum density of 4 units per acre. The proposal, if you, they don't have acres, so if you multiplied it out, it equals like 24.9 units per acre. Lot frontage of 150 feet is required. They have 63. Lot depth is 125 feet. There's 82.63 feet. The front yard setback of 35 feet. They have 9.33. Side yard setback is 25 feet. They have proposed 5.55. And rear yard setback 25. Again, it's 3.33 to the decks. And the lot coverage is 70, the same 70%, and they have 72.1%. So those are the non-conformities under both of the two different zones.
Does anyone else in the public have any questions?
May I do have a question?
Sure.
My house isn't shown on there.
Well, that hasn't even been introduced yet.
Okay.
So I'm guessing Mr. Regan will be the one that's in. I don't know what it is that you're pointing to, but we'll see what it is when we get to that.
We still have comments after.
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I have other questions. When you are averaging out the variances, does this include
just front yard?
Does this include other properties that have already approved variances? Like, if he builds another place based on a variance,
it's based on an average setbacks along Osborne Street,
right,
in this
so
case.
So if he did next door and then he did that based on a variance, would that average be included or would it be considered a one-off?
Yeah, all of the,
yes,
all of the right, the front yard setbacks along the street, you look at all of them.
Yeah.
I ask you that I can reference.
Yeah, and whoever, I mean, you're going to get to talk too if you want to.
Yeah, no.
Whoever, I don't know who you are, but yeah. You want to mark something? Yeah, right now.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay.
Wait a minute. Let me just explain to anybody. We're going to do questions of the witnesses as they go. You can mark something to cross-examine that witness if that's what you wanted to do, or you can, if you want to introduce a picture or something as an affirmative exhibit, we'll wait till after.
Yep.
Thank you for taking that extra time.
Yeah, no problem. So whichever you want to do, you just let us know.
One question.
Yes, just state your name and you need to come up so we can pick you up on the tape.
William McGuinn, 2 Belton Road, number 16. I just wanted to, we were talking about the back checks of residential property. What was that again? Yeah, I'll give you that. Allows it to, the back rear decks, I mean, if they meet a single family home, I could be probably in 1500 square foot range just for the decks with 2 ports. And that would be that's something that's pretty rated on the size that for 5,000-6,000 square foot home.
But the setback is still 15 feet, and right. You know,
just the deck could be a lot larger on a single family.
Yes,
yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Jack Sanders. I live at 12 Center Street.
Okay.
It's directly behind where the building is proposed to build.
Okay.
Can you hear? Yeah. Please step forward a little bit so we can pick you up on the mic.
Well, let me just start. I just have some questions here.
Okay.
Is that mic not working?
Yeah. Dave, get rid of that mic.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, maybe we'll move one back.
No. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
I'm looking at 8. You can actually see the back of my house.
Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so
it's on the right here.
It's the taller one, the 2.5 story, whatever. Okay.
That's one of the houses that they're seeking a 3-foot setback from my Mr. Lomiato, seeking a 3-foot setback from. Where it was like, I think you noted for the record that the required rear setback in a multifamily B is 25 feet. So essentially,
the rear setback?
Yeah, the rear setback, one that would be up against.
For multifamily, but for the R3, it's 15.
Yeah, but he's not building conforming house to the R3, he's building over multifamily B, right?
Well,
no, that's what I'm confused. That's what I was trying to clarify before.
He's in an R3 zone. You know, maybe, Dave, I'll let Dave Hoder, because this is it. So he's in an R3 zone, but because he's building multifamily, I think our engineer was pointing out the.
It's fine. You don't have to touch the mic. I can pick everything up.
As long as you're standing there, you're good.
What that, Dave?
Those requirements are what you're supposed to be adhered to if you're building something that's more than 2 units.
Right.
I mean, I think it stands to reason. I think it stands to reason that it's a multifamily home.
You don't have to.
That's being built, that it should have to conform with the rear setback requirement.
That's what we said.
And there's obvious reasons for that, because there's 3 families living in this house, which is supposed to be 3 feet from where I live and where my 4-year-old goes to sleep.
3.3 feet from your property line.
Correct.
So I don't know how far your house is back from that.
Well, right now it's 15, which is the.
Your house is 15 feet from your property line?
R3 zone requirement. Your home is currently 15 feet back from your property line.
Correct.
That home is 15 feet back from the property line. Right side of A3 is 15 feet back from the property line. So there's going to be, proposal here is to build 18.33 feet from my house is where the multifamily building would be built. Just take a look, I guess, you know, I want to ask Mr. Lignano whether he had reviewed the 2017 Sea Referral Master Plan that was prepared by this board. Specifically, I'm referencing page 54, which states that with regard to single family R3, the zone, that this area is not intended for multifamily uses and such uses should not be permitted. Was that reviewed in connection with the creation of this plan?
Not reviewed. You can say that there's multifamily in every one of those streets.
Okay, well, were any of those built after this was promulgated last July? Okay, I can tell you.
No, you can't testify yet. Okay. We're going to ask.
You don't know whether or not they're built.
I can't answer something about that.
Okay, you know, the only one you know about is 3 Osborne, which is the one that you built, right?
5 Osborne,
which is the one next door to this, right? You testified about there being a multifamily on this property previously from 1912.
It was built in 1912, but it was used up until, I don't know exactly when it was knocked down.
We don't have any evidence that leases or photographs or anything that show that there were multifamily use. Is that fair to say?
His testimony was it was his aunt's.
It was his aunt's, and she, you know, she owned the property, so Vince can tell us about
that. That would be something she told you.
That was, well, so that I can bring her back and she's actually testifying.
Wait, just let me stop 1 minute, okay? James, is your testimony that you have personal knowledge of when that property was used as a multifamily?
Correct.
Okay.
In 1912.
No.
It was built in 1912.
The house was built in 1912.
But you're aware the previous owner to this, before this house was damaged by sand, it had to be torn down, was not using it for multifamily.
I can speak to when someone I know who owned the property was used for multifamily.
The last time you know this property was used for multifamily purposes was 3 houses before this.
3 owners, you mean?
3 owners before this. Correct. And that was not the house that was Gregory Sandy, the one you were referencing, correct?
Well, that house was knocked down, you can see exactly when, but I'm just, my testimony was just related to the intimate knowledge of the house, so I owned it then.
That's fine, you don't know.
That's fine. I know when, what.
Okay. And Sea Ridge condominium, don't know when that was built.
It's actually Ocean Ridge, even though he called it Sea Ridge.
Ocean Ridge.
I corrected that.
Sorry. Ocean Ridge. No, when Ocean Ridge.
I don't know the exact.
All right. Certainly not after the 2017 Sea Ridge Borough Master Plan. Fair?
I think that's
that already existed. Now, with respect to, so it's 5 Osborne, right? Owned by you. That was created as a multifamily.
Five Osmonds.
You were granted variance for that?
Some, yes.
And that was also even before the 2017 plan, right?
Yeah.
Was that condition of use that was granted for that property?
Correct.
It sounded like from what you were saying before, you were attempting to argue that the prior variances that you received to build a multifamily there with the setback that was 3.33 feet also, correct? The rear setback?
I'd have to review it.
Okay, you were trying to use the variances that this board granted to you for that property to take more should be granted out.
Well, I actually, wait a minute. I don't even think that's a proper question. His and I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but his testimony was what the conditions are on neighboring properties. I think you can point out, and I think he admitted, that one of those neighboring properties he developed and received variances for, and that's why I stopped him from keep saying, you know, previous. He's testifying as to the conditions of the properties in the neighborhood, or the setbacks of adjoining or neighboring properties. That's it.
And you stressed that this application is with this.
Right.
Variance on.
Any prior variances, you know, have no effect on the board. I mean, it stands on its own.
Okay. Just so those variances that granted for 5 Osmond, those are some of the same variances you're seeking now, correct?
Yeah. Valid question, Matt.
Well, in fact, I mean, you brought up the fact that there's a this multifamily condominium that's to the east, and the fact that there's your multifamily home to the west, and you're seeking to build another multifamily in the middle, which is essentially, you're talking about almost rezoning the entire street, is that correct?
It's already built like that.
Well, it isn't your house, isn't built yet.
No, I didn't test my testimony. If you're asking any questions about the other properties, I told you it was there.
All right. So you're aware you have 5,232 square feet, that's what it is?
It's lot area.
It's a lot area. And in order to have multifamily B, which is what you're seeing here, you would have to have a whole acre of 43,000 feet. I don't know. I mean, that's what you're seeking to do here, right?
You're
seeking to not an acre of the size that's required to design a multifamily.
Like I said,
including ones that you developed on variances that you were seeking before, correct?
Not one house, yeah.
You don't have an engineering study? Is that right?
No.
All right, you don't have an environmental study?
That's fine, making that approval or however it's
built. You don't have a flood flow study?
No.
There's no landscaping plan? Right. There's no recreation plan, which is another requirement for multifamily.
There's
no lighting plan. All right, no stormwater management plan.
No.
All right, no grading analysis. You didn't have any grading analysis. I'm asking you, do you have any grading analysis?
If he knows, because he's not the wait, James, you can't ask. I mean, if you're testifying, he's the applicant, I get it. If you don't know the answer and you want to refer to your expert, you got to say that. You can't talk to him.
For my
okay.
You're not aware of the grading analysis or not, there.
I'm aware that we have something like
that. You don't have an environmental impact statement?
No.
All right. And you don't, I mentioned you had no engineering study.
I'm not sure what study means.
Well, there's no engineering. There's no report from any engineer.
You mean plans or report?
Plans or report to be presented.
There is a plan attached that is engineering. Yes, that did, but in terms of study, not.
Do you know how often this area floods? Do you know how often the bathroom floods?
Yes.
You know where the flood flow comes from?
The river.
Well, do you know where it comes from? It's the same as one stream. Well, do you know that it comes through the marina?
Wait, are you testifying?
I'm just asking what he asked.
You asked if he knew the specific point. He says no. Is that correct? James, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. Okay, and you can make a statement, Mr. Sanders, at any time, but I don't want you to give him facts that you're then going to ask him a question about.
All right, so I just want to
clarify. Okay, yeah, it's fine. Go right ahead. Sure. Yep. I have no problem with that. Go right ahead.
All right. Have you done any study, or are you aware of any study being done for this building to determine whether this would cause erosion to the houses behind or near this house, like mine?
No, not done study.
Do you know if this will exceed non-conforming use you're seeking, right? The variances you're seeking will increase the height of the building that comes through those houses.
Oh,
I'm not a professional.
Wait, I just need you to clarify. I'm not sure. When you say the height of the flooding?
The amount of water that comes through. Yes.
Okay, so.
What is the question?
Dave Hoder may be able to, but I mean, he's asking.
Well, I can just make a statement. Most of them are done right from our ordinance.
Right.
And are there the requirements for the multifamily section of the ordinance, such as an acre of length, and all the other normal things you can see if you were doing 24 years in front of the glass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just for reference.
And he would have to ask for waivers from the ordinance for most of those. I mean, it's legitimate a question right now, but I think Dave is correct on.
Or comply.
Correct.
I mean, some of them are completely unnecessary. So it's not 25 units or 30 units. But some of them might be worthwhile providing.
So right. The condition of the pool,
yes.
Yes. And the board hasn't yet. I mean, you're going to determine whether or not you want to grant waivers for some of these, or you want to ask for compliance on some of them. So,
mm-hmm.
No, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely. You haven't, but we haven't gone over those yet. But he has certainly, the question is fine to ask Mr. Lobianda whether or not, you know, he's provided them. If he says no, you know, then you're going to go forward. I'm assuming Mr. Regan's going to talk about some stuff, but I don't know.
Yes.
He may or may not.
Right. This is some of these questions. I mean, some of this does come directly from Section 115.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
About variance procedures,
mm-hmm.
Specifically, I guess, the point I'm trying to make with some places is that various procedures include requirements that a lot of these tests be done, or at least need to be checked out, or some evidence be presented that just hasn't.
Well, you've only had that witness so far, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, he may have other testimony. You're asking the lay witness those questions, and I think you have every right to, but he can say, I'm going to defer to my expert. I don't know that answer, and then the board is going to certainly follow up and say, all right, well, you know, our ordinance requires, a grading plan. We want it, or we waive it, or
yeah,
et cetera.
Or we can make that a condition,
right,
of approval.
Yeah. It's just he hasn't finished his presentation, but I think your questions are fine.
Yeah, I just. I mean,
I think you can. No, go right ahead.
Okay. With respect to flood, so you're aware of flood water in the Dundee Street?
Yes.
Have you actually seen a flood take place on Osborne? Have you seen the way the water flows from Osborne to my street?